So I'm Lila. Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Yeah, I just have a couple questions. So are you ready to start? Great. So when did your passion for cooking start?
My passion for cooking started at a young age, and that was because I was, as a child watching my parents and grandparents host many people at their homes. And those were always really happy times, and times where I saw, it wasn't just that the people that they were hosting were happy to come over and have dinner and whatnot. It made my parents and my grandparents it also made them happy to be able to serve people. And so I think my like love of service and wanting to provide some type of nurturing definitely started at a young age from watching them do that.
And what was your experience like at the Culinary Institute of America?
Very interesting. I remember the first day when I moved in, I unpacked my bags. The immediately I plugged in my laptop to try to find flights to come back home. But it was just something I was, I was in an uncomfortable situation, but I grew to love that. And it was nice. It's nice being around people that all are have common interests and, like to talk about, common things like food and wine, and being in an environment like that, I feel like helped me strive and constantly help me be able to push myself to become better. Is, I had so many, I always joke and I say I ended up being friends with the smartest kids that school has ever had, and I'm just the idiot amongst them that they let be friends with. So it's funny, but I had a great experience. It's, I think a lot of people, while you're in school, you're kind of like, I can't wait till I'm done with school. But then you always look back and, you remember there were some really good times, and usually it was a positive experience for me. So it was great to be in New York and be in that, not just in the environment of school, but also be down the street from New York City, which is essentially like the food capital of the world. And, having those two things there, I think aside from even the curriculum at school, just the people you're around is very helpful.
Totally. What did you learn from working for Michelin star chef Jared Gadbaugh, and who currently owns and operates Oak and Reel restaurant in Detroit?
I think, honestly, I think the most I took from him was just watching his leadership. When I was working at Maria, I was in an extern position there. So, it was, our school would send us out to work for, 4 to 6 months in the middle of our program. And, so I wasn't like being trusted with, hey, come up with a new recipe or anything like that. I was mainly just like following order and, following order and making sure that what I was being asked to do was done. But just watching him from afar, seeing his leadership, how he led the kitchen, how he spoke to people, how he respected, everyone that worked there, I think set it a good example for me on how to now lead the people that I'm in charge of. And I think a lot of people see like things like, kitchen nightmares with Gordon Ramsay, or a lot of these very angry chefs, and I think a lot of people are led to believe that that's how it, that's how a talented chef behaves, or that's how, high profile or, high skill chefs operate. And I think Jared helped me see that it's not necessary to be like that angry tyrant running around. Not to say that, his voice wasn't heard when it needed to be heard, or that there weren't times of, where you express a little bit of frustration. But overall, the leadership he had and just the way he approached work as a professional is something I always admired, and I try to mold myself after that today. As far as like the cooking skill side, I'm still very, very, very far from him. But I can only strive to try to be, the leader he is.
And now that both of you are in Metro Detroit, are there any plans for you and Chef Gadbaugh to collaborate? And if so, can you share them?
Nothing, there's nothing right now in the works. I was at a conference that he was speaking at a few months ago, and he was on a panel being asked questions, and they asked him about legacy as a chef. And the first thing, I had no expectations of him saying anything, but the first thing that popped his mind is, he was just like, teaching people and then being able to pass off knowledge and seeing people do something of their own with that knowledge. And he mentioned that he's like, I have somebody in the crowd today that worked for me at Marea and now is opening their own restaurant. So I would love it. I would love to do something with him, but no, there's nothing in the works right now. Maybe I can get him to come and do a pizza pop-up, or he's used to cooking really fancy food, so maybe we'll get him to come to Tiliani and do something casual and fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. What did you learn while working in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Qatar?
So one, the ingredients and spices and things like that are much, much different there. So you see a lot of different applications or different things that you can apply to dishes you've cooked for years, but just applied in a different way. So that was nice, but honestly, more than anything I learned was how good, or not, how much better the work environments here in America are. That's something that brought me back, is seeing that people are not always treated with the most dignity and respect in other places. And, kitchens can just be a very, abrasive place. I guess that's the word. And even in America, there's times where people are mistreated, or there's things are flaring up, tempers are flaring, and nobody's perfect, and no kitchen operates perfectly. But just to see over there, what the standard was, and how people weren't being given the most respect, I learned that we are lucky here in America. And I'm sure there's other places like us that people have a voice at work, whether you're the dishwasher or the executive chef or the owner. I think everyone's opinion should be valued. So I learned the importance of that, honestly, more than anything cooking wise, is the importance of respecting people and valuing people, and building your team with those with those ethics, and not just trying to push people to peel as many potatoes as fast as possible. And I realize how, like, that those things aren't what companies are built on. They're built on values and not food cost and labor cost and all these things that obviously have to make sense in any business, whether it's a $20 million hotel or a small farm to table restaurant. I think those values go a long way if you're trying to create something great.
What brought you back to Dearborn, Michigan?
Honestly, I know it's a big Middle Eastern community. I never grew up in Dearborn, and I grew up in Farmington Hills in Livonia. So I would always go to Dearborn with my parents as a kid, and just, to have food, or go out to eat, or visit family. And it was always a strong sense of community. I always liked it. And when the opportunity arose, and it was not just like, let's open a restaurant and serve good food. It was like, my partner in the restaurant, his name is Nasser Beydoun, he was trying to essentially like answer a question or fix a problem. He said, we should serve halal Italian food, something that our community can enjoy. And, that was like initially like the first we kept that's all we kept talking about. It was like, yeah, nobody's serving halal Italian food. Nobody has this type of food in general around here, let alone having it be halal. And I think, now that we've opened and we've gotten to know a lot of the community, it makes so much sense. We have a Tiliani means Italian in Arabic. So I'm sorry if I ruined one of your questions down the line, because it might have came up. But we that part of Dearborn, you have the Italian community and the Middle Eastern community. You have the Italians that came to work for Ford, and you see a lot of them are still in their original homes. So I feel like once I got to know the community even more, it just made a lot more sense than it already did to me to do it there. And I'm excited about it. I've only had positive experiences with meeting people from in the community. And we have our now regulars who are walking by the restaurant every morning, and it's their daily walk to take that lap, whichever route they go. And it's nice to like feel like you're a part of a community like that. It's like it's 2023, and you could people can do all types of crazy things with technology and travel, and people are able to see different parts of the world. But like, it's nice to see that some parts of old school tradition are still there. And I think it only can help a business to have the strong sense of community.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of just answered this, but what inspired Tiliani?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, it was
Yeah.
so my partner was the one who came up with the name. And I think from what his daughter explained to me, it kind of started out as a joke. I think he was. He owns a few other restaurants, and he was, I think, telling his kids he's gonna open another restaurant, and they were all like, "No, Dad, like enough restaurants." And he was like, "Oh, I'm gonna open an Italian restaurant," and they're like, "What are you gonna name it?" And he's like, "Oh, it's Tiliani," and it was like started out kind of as a joke, like as like a corny dad joke, but then I think it just caught on. And I remember the first time of him telling me the name, I was like, "Yeah, I like that," and it grew on to me. So. Yeah, I mean, it just literally means Italian in Arabic. So, like I said, it just makes and it sounds nice. It's easy to say in English. It's easy to say in Arabic, and I think it just kind of makes everyone happy across the board.
Yeah. What are some favorite dishes at Tiliani?
The kale Caesar. If
Okay.
you're gonna, I would. I'll go top to bottom. If I was gonna walk into Tiliani to order a meal, I would order a kale Caesar, and then I would definitely order whatever seasonal vegetable appetizer we have in the menu. We have, we're always doing different stuff with the seasonal local items that we're able to get our hands on. But I would always order, the kale Caesar and some type of seasonal item. And then for a pizza, I would do the potato pizza. On that one, we do herb with ricotta, garlic, pecorino cheese, potatoes, and then we fire that off, and then once it's done cooking, we actually take home potato chips that we make in-house, put them on top, so it's you get some crunch, you get some creaminess, get some butteriness from the potatoes. It's great. And then for my entree course, oh man, my last course, I'd probably have to skip pastas because I'd be so carved up from the pizza, and then I'd likely get the branzino. Our wood-fired butterfly branzino is amazing. It's delicious and like super clean and very light, where you don't feel heavy after. The sauce we put on it is a caper and fermented garlic honey emulsion. So it has like some saltiness, sweetness, tanginess. There's a bunch of herbs, and I think it would. Yeah, that's just like that'd be probably the perfect meal at Tiliani to me.
That sounds so good. I'm going on Saturday, so I'll have to
Oh,
get
nice.
that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What can patrons expect when they dine at Tiliani?
You can expect that you're coming to my home. That's the feeling I want people to get. A lot of us that, a few of us that work in the restaurant have worked in like super high pressure environments and very upscale fancy environments, and they're great. I give them all the respect to have that high level of like discipline and kind of putting on that it's show business face. But with us, we want you to feel that the cuisine is very elevated, and the cuisine is it is very fine dining-esque, but the feeling you get there, we want you to feel like you're in our home. We don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable and that they have to, wear some type of shoes that are going to hurt their feet. And you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I can't wait to get home and take these shoes off, or undo my tie. We want you to come in feel really comfortable. We might forget the time. You know, I hope you come in at 5 and you look and it's 9 o'clock and you're like, wow, how did these 4 hours swing by, go by so fast. So that's the feeling I like to get. You know, there's no, I think the problem with a lot of these restaurants that are fine dining and ultra fine dining restaurants, and I don't know if it's a problem really. I'm not gonna say it's a problem, but I think the one thing that I think is missed is there's no, you know, these restaurants have a standard, and like you have to follow exactly how the meal goes, and you know, everything is planned out by them ahead of time, and you come in and you pretty much you participate in, you know, the performance they put on. And there's no one way to make every single person happy. So I think a lot of times in these ultra fine dining places, the hospitality and you know, the custom hospitality to each guest is sometimes missed. And that's something that we strive to, you know, we strive to figure out how to make everybody happy in their own way when they come to Tiliani.
What future plans do you have for Tiliani?
Oh man. So we want to in the next year or two have our own farm. My family has a farm a few hours north of here, and it's something that we've been really trying to think about and plan and figure out how to execute, is to have Tiliani Farms in Gladwin, Michigan. That's where we have property, and be able to self-sustain for the restaurant, you know, be able to in the summertime grow everything we want to grow, and being able to have then, like, you know, a lot of items we can pickle and preserve, and you know, basically stock us up for the winter so we can just operate on what we grew and what we processed ourselves. You know, right now I'd say everything in our restaurant except for the lemons and limes, because though, you know, you can't grow those in Michigan. Everything comes from local farmers and local creameries and, you know, local honey farmers. So, you know, if we could eventually do all that on our own, not that we don't like working with these people, and not that we still wouldn't work with these people, we still would, but you know, it's I think there's a certain appreciation to being able to grow your own vegetables, and then, you know, you're gonna have a different respect for them once it goes to handling them. So that's, you know, that's the goal. That's the goal, is to, you know, have our own farm, and you know, who knows from there. I mean, maybe we'll do, there'll be a casual, you know, one of our nicknames in the restaurant for Tiliani is Tilly. You know, I'll just say it quick sometimes, like I'm going to Tilly's, or I'm at Tilly if I'm on the phone with somebody. And we always play with the idea of opening up a super, super casual, like quick service, or not really quick service, but just something really casual, like pasta spot, you know, where it's open for lunch and dinner. And, you know, Tiliani's the fine dining and the, you know, the date night spot, but Tilly's is like your everyday casual pizza pasta. So that would be cool. But for now, you got to just take it one day at a time. You know, we've only been open for like 3 months, and it just feels like forever. So.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What would you tell students who may be interested in pursuing culinary arts?
You should for sure work in a restaurant, I'd say for a year before doing this. I think it's good and bad, but like, you know, things like the Food Network and a lot of these different shows, they make the career look very glamorous, and it can be very glamorous, and it is very glamorous, but I don't think they display accurate information on how every side of this is. You know, it's like on social media or on television, you only see what is meant to be shown. You don't see the long hours, and you don't see the struggles and different things like that. That, you know, obviously every single career has its own, but you know, before jumping into any career, you should figure out what the struggles are for that career, and if these are obstacles that you want to face yourself, and just understanding, you know, if you really do enjoy this, you know, working in a restaurant is for a couple weeks or a month or two, and then, you know, going at that 6 months later, 9 months later, you're gonna have a completely different feeling about it. So I'd say, you know, get a real taste of it. number one, get a real taste for it. And, number two, have a plan to, have a plan for your career. It's the awesome thing about today's day and age is, if you go to culinary school or, or school for pastry arts, that doesn't mean that you just have to work in a restaurant or you have to work in a bakery. I mean, there's so many outlets to the career where there's, people go into journalism, people go into food photography, people go into food styling, and it goes on and on and on. And it's like, have a plan. No, nobody, I know things can change, but understand how many different outlets there are for food before you choose yours. I know I chose restaurants. I went the traditional route, but I enjoy that a lot. And but I have friends that I went to culinary school with that are, like I said, now in journalism or and so there's so like I said, there's so many different outlets to being a chef or being a food professional. So yeah, those would be my two things is one, get a real taste for restaurants. And then two, explore the different outlets you can take as a food professional.
And last question, what do you think it takes to be a successful chef?
What do I think it takes to be a successful chef? You have to be very realistic with yourself. If no chef cooks things that just sometimes aren't terrible. Like sometimes you have an idea in your head for a dish and sounds cool. You cook it and it's not that great. And you have to be very realistic with yourself. You have to be extremely critical with yourself. And not be able, be able to truly taste things for what they are and not fall in love with the lure of the dish or the fact that you made it. So being able to be real with yourself is one. I'd say number two, and it's cliche, but you have to work hard. I mean, it's very hard. It's it's a career that requires critical thinking, physical. It's a high physical labor career, heavy physical labor, physical labor career, stamina. I mean, it's. I always say. And I could not say this about myself yet. But to me, a successful chef and restaurateur who is also operating the restaurant is one of the more impressive things that you can do. I give my hat off to there's so many careers that are so interesting to me, but to me there's few things that are more impressive than a chef restaurateur who's running a successful business. That business is generating a profit and it's feeding many families and you have employees that are all able to sustain a lifestyle and a life based off what you have created and what you've created with them. I think it's super difficult and it's super rare to find. So I hope to achieve that one day. Like I said, Jared is the like the standard and it's good to have somebody there to I ask him questions all the time and I get his advice on little things, but it's there's no and also there's one big thing about being a chef, there's no set job that you come in every day to do. You come in every day, you have to be a Swiss Army knife. And it's yeah, it's but at the end of the day it's fun. If you enjoy the adrenaline and you enjoy like I don't want to say it, but most chefs like we're we're a little cuckoo. To enjoy the things that we enjoy, I don't think you can fully be sane. And it's a good and a bad thing. Mostly good, mostly good. I think chefs are usually really fun people to be around just because we're there, we're so used to a million different things going on and there's we're used to so many different personalities where we can we can enjoy our time and in who we are and express who we are with really anybody and it's fun. I mean, being in a kitchen, it's like having a family. It's you learn to love these people and they, you learn to support each other and in those hard times where you're really busy and you're getting a million orders at once and the dining room's full and that's when, I feel like you grow as a team the most.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
Yeah.
It was great interviewing you. I'm not sure if you have any questions, but I think that concludes our interview.
Yeah. No questions. I appreciate it. Like I said, I was very flattered to be asked to do this. So it's just exciting for us to be able to be noticed by, people and seeing our story and seeing that people want to share our story. So we can only say from me and the rest of the team at Tiliani, thank you so much. Like I said, we're all very flattered to be featured in this.